crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this third day of August, 2014. I am your host, Alex Jones. And the latest news up on Infowars.com on this Sunday worldwide transmission is amazing. We have new announcements today, fresh off the first Ebola victim from Africa, a U.S. doctor being brought in to an Atlanta hospital by Homeland Security that authorized it. That's an unprecedented move to bring someone infected with something this deadly in that kills over 90% of those that get infected with it. It's unprecedented to bring it into a country, especially when they can't contain it. And they're saying there could be as many as 30 plus thousand people. It was 30,000 on Friday. I'm sure it's more now, that could have been infected and over 1,000 dead. So they're hyping how deadly it is out of one side of their mouth, and out of the other side saying, it's no big deal. We're going to put these people inside a standard hospital in Atlanta, but they'll be on their own wing, so it's safe. In fact, guys, I had all that here in my stack. We print me the latest on Atlanta, and specifically the article that we wrote last night dealing with that with all the details. Thank you so much. Again, worldwide transmission on this Sunday edition. Now a second American with Ebola expected to arrive in the U.S. on Tuesday. That's ABC News. The plane carrying the second American patient who contracted Ebola while working in Liberia, Africa, will leave the U.S. for the West African country later today and is expected to return Tuesday, a U.S. official told ABC News. The private air ambulance is scheduled to take off today and arrive in Liberia. After one stopover, the official said the plane will then bring the worker, Nancy Wrightbull, to Dobson's Air Base in Marietta, Georgia, and is expected to land midday Tuesday. So this is Sunday. We're 2 days out from another arrival here in the United States. And again, I've been on the radio for close to 20 years. I've talked to a lot of medical experts, medical doctors over the weekend. Even mainstream media admits it is unprecedented to bring someone with a super deadly disease like Ebola into the United States. Ebola-infected USAID worker due to arrive at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. That was from a few days ago. That person did arrive on Saturday, that doctor. And remember what we wrote about earlier in the week on August 1st. Obama signs executive order to allow detention of Americans with respiratory illnesses, period. No proof you're sick, no fever, you got a cough, you got sniffles, you got a problem, you're going to get locked up in a medical brig, basically. I'm going to decipher the different angles of this when we come back and try to give you my take on what we know is happening and what may be developing. But I've told you this is the age of crises. And in the last month, I kept saying, you've all heard it every show, what's the next big shoe to drop? We've got Al-Qaeda being turned loose under the name IS, ISIS. We've got the globalists overthrowing Ukraine and a start of war with Russia. Doesn't mean Russia's perfect, but the West is detonating the crisis, is starting it. Under common law, folks, who starts it is the bad guy. Now, we've got Ebola, the biggest outbreak ever spreading around. We've got the dollar being devalued. We've got Obama lowering the borders under just executive fiat and saying he'll sign executive orders on anything else he wants, and then he'll lock up Americans anytime he wants for basically no reason under medical emergency right before all this kicks off. You don't even need to put two and two together and say it equals four to understand what's happening. The age of contrived, organized, or exacerbated crisis is upon us, and it's going into hyperspace. Stay with us. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com.
So we have Ian right there.
What's his name?
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a war. It's happening now. It will affect the fate of humanity. You are the resistance. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar. Thank you for joining us on this worldwide Sunday transmission. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're here every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, back weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. again, Central Standard Time. The news websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And you can follow us, of course, on Twitter at Real Alex Jones. This is an emergency transmission, any way you slice it. Paul Joseph Watson will be joining us from London, England, for the balance of the hour to break down the huge global developments with Ebola, the Ukraine crisis, IS or ISIS, Al-Qaeda forces, killing over 300,000 people in the Middle East. That's accelerating. The border being completely wide open, and even mainstream news calling Obama a dictator as he pledges to sign executive orders restricting the Second Amendment. It's all coming up today. Then investigative journalist John Rappaport will be popping in to focus in with us on Ebola and the pandemic that they've declared. Is it really a pandemic? Is it hype? I think it's a little bit of both. There's news behind the news, a story behind the story, or as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. So that's coming up today. First off, this is undoubtedly the biggest outbreak of Ebola ever recorded. The Ebola virus transmitted from fruit bats in Africa to other mammals on the ground is basically becoming more powerful, many experts believe. There's some evidence that it was weaponized by Western governments when it first began to emerge in the last half century. But what we do know is, and this is important, it's beyond important, no government has ever knowingly or publicly transferred a currently infected, and that means someone who can spread it, individual into their nation. African countries have locked down their borders in the surrounding area in West Africa. Liberia, Sierra Leone, Nigeria, they're checking everyone coming off planes. But here in the United States, the southern border is completely wide open. And I interviewed the head of the Border Patrol Union just earlier this week. And it's on record that people clearly sick with different type of jungle fevers that will kill you deader than a hammer, that make the flu look like child's play. It's why folks are scared to go to the third world. Is pouring in through the Mexican border out of Central and South America, where a conduit has been opened, and they are loaded on aircraft or on buses and sent to the destination of their choosing. No screening. Now, again, this is unprecedented, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what's really unprecedented on top of that, the only thing that takes the cake on that craziness is Germany. And now the United States, Germany has taken multiple infected individuals in the last 5 days into their hospitals. Ebola, people actively who can infect others. And the United States has already flown one U.S. doctor who was infected in to a mainline medical center in Atlanta. There's a big issue there. Wait till we get to that. And another aid worker is set to be flown in. The plane's already left Atlanta to get them. It'll be turning around in Africa tomorrow. And it'll be back from Liberia on Tuesday. And it sets the precedent now to start shipping, I guess, hundreds of Ebola-infected individuals into the United States. Now, there's a bunch of big red flag off the chart DEFCON, you know, type stuff there. Our government's never done this before, and it violates policy and law, A. B, we've got level 4 bioweapons treatment and development facilities under BioShield, is 12 years old, and other programs, where they have underground labs that have special sensors, special airlocks, and that can be burned to the ground in a matter of seconds with firebombs that are in them that destroy everything. They're underground with two rings of fences, machine gun nest, and landmines. Okay, it's the same type of facility that nuclear bombs are kept in, but even more. Level 4, look it up, containment. Now, just to show you how policies have changed, under BioShield that was passed into law in 2002, tens of billions of dollars a year is allotted to, quote, build bioweapons detection and treatment technologies, but it came out in the news it's really a way to get around bioweapons treaties and to have the U.S. develop hardcore weaponized Ebola, smallpox, you name it. So instead of it killing 91%, it kills 99%, and it's airborne. That's the type of stuff they reportedly have developed at these labs. They began to work with weaponized Ebola, smallpox, you name it, at level 2 facilities in places like Galveston, Texas. This has been in the news at the University of Texas, with stuff that kills the majority of people that get it, in facilities hit by hurricanes that have been flooded. Look it up in the Houston Chronicle. That happened last hurricane, went 5-6 years ago, that hit Galveston. I made a big deal about it. So there's this new attitude of, oh, let's let them ship level 4 bioweapons in a FedEx truck, and then it crashed 6 years ago, and it was a big news issue. Remember that? Or, oh, let's put the way you design human-born mouse pox that kills 97% of people, 98% of people, let's just put out the biological genome of that so even a person with $100,000 and a biology degree in virology can make it. That was 10 years ago. It was a huge scandal. The FBI rightfully fought it for 5 years and failed. And 5 years ago, it was published by U.S. and Australian universities how to create airborne human mouse pox with a 97% or higher kill rate. See, I don't just give you, hey, what's Obama doing allowing, you can say, oh, well, he didn't do it. Well, the buck stops with him. He runs the CDC. He runs the borders. He runs things as a dictator now. Congress goes around playing golf all day. And who, okay, well, then I want to know this. Who gave the order? Who authorized, because I've been looking all weekend and can't find it. Who authorized clearly mutated, super powerful Ebola, not ready to say weaponized yet, into the United States, and it's not a level 4 facility? If it was a level 4 facility, and they had a person in a control pod or something, I know they have those, that was self-contained and everything, I would still say it was reckless, and I'd want an investigation. They have shipped it, I've got the article right here, to the University, Emory University Hospital in Atlanta, a mainline hospital, and they say, don't worry, part of a wing is sealed off. Part of a wing. Part of a wing. Part of a wing. Ladies and gentlemen, there's over 120 healthcare workers and doctors that we know of as of Friday, the latest numbers I got, that already have Ebola, and over 40 of them have died, and the others are busy dying right now. Doctors in hospitals can't stop it from spreading. The hospitals can't stop MRSA and flesh-eating bacteria and drug-resistant TB and drug-resistant staph and strep from spreading. I lost 3 family members this year from hospital infections. My great uncle, my uncle, and my cousin in East Texas from these deadly immune bacteria or resistant bacteria. So let me tell you something. This is a crime, and this is out of control, and this is head spinning nuts. Now, we can speculate all day. We're going to have to today because we don't know. Why are they doing this? Are they just totally incompetent and insane in government? I don't think so. They have serious laws and policies in place saying they can't do this. Are they planning to release weaponized Ebola that a lot of globalists have talked about to reduce world population forcibly? Like University of Texas professor Eric Pianca that says he hopes airborne Ebola is released to kill 90% of us. Remember that made national headlines a few years ago? Are there certain parties that just hope it naturally gets out in the Obama administration or elsewhere? Or are they wanting to get the blood of these people to make bioweapons? I don't know. But I know this. It's illegal, it's reckless, it's dangerous, and it fits right in with open borders and executive rule by the dictator.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
Rallying patriots!
Rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yes, sir, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government has lowered our southern borders where jihadis, radical Islamicists, drug dealers, mules, criminals of every type fleeing justice from their other nations that they were leaving, drug-resistant TB, scabies, the flu. The list just goes on and on. The Black Plague has popped up in Colorado. The plague, you know, the one that killed 30 to 40% of Europe's population? That southern border is wide open while there is the biggest Ebola outbreak in world history happening right now in Africa. And Germany and the United States are flying medical workers back to not be treated on military ships where they previously would have been treated. That was the previous policy. I went and looked it up. They're now bringing them not to government weapons labs or bioweapons research labs where they could maybe safely contain it. They're bringing it to mainline hospitals in Germany and the United States, like the Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. Ebola-infected U.S. aid workers due to arrive at Emory University Hospital. That was Friday. The first one arrived Saturday, and now they're saying more are going to arrive Tuesday. Second American with Ebola expected to arrive in U.S. ABC News. That's the latest. U.S. government seeking to test Ebola vaccine on humans. Ah, Reuters. Now we see what it's really all about. We have a new article out today on Infowars.com by Kit Daniels. Obama brings Ebola into America after signing executive order to detain sick Americans. In fact, ask Kit to move these articles back to the top of Infowars.com because they've rolled down to the bottom. And then we have an article from last week where Obama signed an executive order to allow detention of Americans with respiratory illnesses, and they say any sign of it, sneezing, coughing, you can be disappeared, even though that has nothing to do with Ebola, just a giant power grab. So this may just be hype, even though it's a real pandemic in Africa, to get on the books medical tyranny for forced inoculations, for the flu, you name it. Even though they admit last year in California, AP, that the whooping cough vaccine caused an outbreak of it. Yeah, my grandmother, by the way, 89 years old, still sharp as a tack. I'm going to go interview her this week. I'd always heard this when I was a kid, but she was talking about it again the other day. Nobody she knew had the polio until she got the vaccine. A week later, she got paralyzed and almost died and was right by an iron lung. They almost put her in an iron lung. And she's on crutches to this day, ate about half the nerves in her body, half the nerves in her muscles. Benny Grace Hammond lives right here in Austin, Texas. A lot of folks know her. Involved in the community church, you name it, for 60-something years. And she said, no, that gave me polio. And, of course, we now know that over 100 million Americans were given cancer viruses that killed them, according to the CDC, in the first decade of the polio vaccine. Look it up. I'm going to do a special report this week on it with all the details. And that after they started giving the shot, it got worse. They wouldn't call it polio, though. They would call it just paralysis. And then the last 4 or 5 years, you've seen the headline where the polio vaccine in Pakistan and Africa was causing it, but they don't call it polio. They call it paralysis. And they still give the live virus, even though they're not supposed to. I was told that a few years ago by a medical doctor treating one of my children, well-known pediatrician. He just retired. Probably one of the best known in Austin. I'll just leave it at that. And he basically got me by the shirt and he said, you don't say who I am, but you can say I'm a medical doctor. I volunteer at these city clinics every year to vaccinate the kids, and I'm not going to do it anymore. And I go, why? And he goes, They're giving East Austinites live, illegal 1963 batch live virus HPV 40. And he said, I thought you were nuts, but it's all true. And he goes, and I'm not going to be doing this much longer. And I mean, I'm talking a medical doctor with a huge practice with his eyes bugging out at me. I'd probably been to him 5-6 times, you know, with well checks with my kids. I got 3 of them. And he just for a minute went ahead and just told me the truth. So see, all these other doctors just want to play along with this. Paul Watson joins us for the balance of the hour. I haven't talked to Paul yet today, but he's one of the smartest people working at Infowars.com. I'll say this. He understands the New World Order just as much as I do. And I study this 18 hours a day. And Paul always comes up with stunningly accurate angles. I'm still in the speculation phase. I just know what's going on. It's totally illegal, totally reckless, totally dangerous. Paul Watson will detail it in the next segment coming up. But first off, you're writing articles for PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com and doing special news report videos there from our London studios. But so far, what does your gut tell you? I know they hyped up H1N1 5 years ago that wasn't real. Rappaport's pointing out they could be hyping this. But I don't know. My gut tells me there's some hype, but it's mainly spin. All the other crises that are breaking loose right now, the borders, Al-Qaeda, overthrowing Ukraine, the dollar devaluation, I've been predicting just a month ago, people can find the clips, that if I was the globalist, I'd pull some biological scare. And I'm on record, listeners, you know that. Well, somebody will find the clip and put it on InfoWars. Paul, what does your gut so far tell you this is?
I think it's a real threat, Alex, because of the very fact that they're not hyping it. You know, before the swine flu outbreak in 2009, which in comparison to Ebola was basically useless. It had a 0.04% mortality rate compared to, you know, 90% for Ebola. But they fear-mongered about that like it was the end of the world because they had the vaccine lined up beforehand, the pharmaceutical companies, who were caught influencing the WHO and the governments. Wolfgang Wodarg exposed that. They had it lined up beforehand. They made millions and millions of dollars. And now, this time around, it turned out that the FDA actually blocked an Ebola vaccine that was proven to work on humans just recently, just in the last couple of months. So they're actually blocking the vaccine, which could be the solution to this problem. So that's why I think it is a real threat, simply because they're not hyping it.
I agree with you. And again, I didn't know your view on this yet. I know you've still been collating. This is real. And I looked into it. I know you're working on an article for Monday on this, but they've never brought live Ebola with an infected communicable patient, a spreader, a vector, into a Western country. What in the hell is Germany and the U.S. doing?
It's amazing, Alex, because I mean, you can look at these facilities online in hospitals. They're basically just beds surrounded by a transparent tarpaulin screen. It's amazing. What concerns me is we know that governments have released viruses from labs before. Headline foot and mouth virus released from government lab. 2001. This was from Port and Down, which is basically a military...
Stay there.
Content.
This is too huge. Stay there. That's BBC. Yeah, we're going to explain all the viruses that have been released from government labs before. Now they're putting them in regular hospitals. I mean... If it gets out, will Obama be held accountable? See, government's not ever held accountable anymore. So now they're just bringing Ebola in.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Yeah, I've been watching. I've been waiting for the globalists to pull another scam, to let a good crisis not go to waste. And again, they just get away with anything now. Is the goal just to set the precedent where they can lower the borders completely, but set up checkpoints on highways and search people internally? And openly fund Al-Qaeda and rename it IS or ISIS? Go on the news and say your kids belong to the state? And government is just going so crazy right now. And what are they doing bringing Ebola in? Multiple patients and sticking them in hospitals with plastic tarps over them when it's well known that those hospitals are just full of superbugs that could merge with or mutate with this Ebola. I mean, there is no telling. I want to play a clip from what CBS News briefly where they're talking about this, just in case you're a new listener and don't believe me that live Ebola in people are being brought into hospitals full of sick people. And by the way, it's not even its own wing. I stand corrected. It's part of a wing with patients in it. Who would want to be in a hospital with Ebola in it? I mean, this is insane. Here it is.
Dr. Ken Brantley is the first of two American Ebola patients to be transported back to the U.S. for treatment. He arrived at Dobbins Air Reserve Base near Atlanta Saturday, bound for an Emory University medical facility for treatment. Nancy Reitball, the second American infected, is expected to be returned to the U.S. early next week.
All right, that's enough. I'm going to go back to Paul Watson. If I'm hyperventilating more than usual here, it's because, ladies and gentlemen, this is getting crazier and crazier and crazier by the minute. And who needs death panels? Or who needs to put VA patients on secret death lists, not be given surgery for life-threatening cancer and stuff, when you can just bring Ebola in? And again, nothing may happen with this. I hope that's the case. But no one would ever take the risk before. Now, we're going back to Paul Watson and more analysis coming up in the next hour. I think it is extremely important for listeners to understand how important InfoWars.com is, PrisonPlanet.com, and the fact that we really have our finger on the pulse with our analysis, our guests, our research, our HUMET, you, the listeners out there, the human intelligence, to really try to turn things around. So please tell friends and family to tune into this broadcast right now at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to the free audio feeds. There's a free video feed at InfoWars.com/show. And if we get enough people aware of what's happening, the politicians and other corrupt influences at the top won't be able to get away with what they're doing. There's a lot of good people in corporate governance, corporate systems, private systems, you name it, and governmental systems to turn this around. Paul Watson, you were mentioning a BBC article. You wrote articles back at the time in 2001, 2002, when the weaponized foot and mouth got out. It turned out from a government bioweapons lab and then got spread all over the country. Lyme's disease came from Plum Island, on record off the coast of New York, basically weaponized syphilis, tick-borne. It was a Nazi scientist they brought over there to create that. Deer swam the mile from Plum Island over to New York State. And then you have all the secret experimentation, shooting black people up with syphilis. They may just be bringing these Ebola people in as a cover for when they release Ebola later. I mean, Paul, I'm really, my gut, my spidey sense is really freaking out right now. Paul Watson.
It's a massive concern, Alex. Yeah, this is an article I did 7 years ago, August 2007. 2001, basically, the Labour government, Tony Blair, were in a massive political war with the farming community who were incensed at Labour's policies inflicted upon them. Lo and behold, early 2001, foot and mouth gets released, completely devastates the farming community, millions and millions of cattle and sheep slaughtered and burned. And it turned out, according to reports in the British media, that this vial of foot and mouth virus was stolen from Portadown government bioweapons laboratory. And again, this is not just a hospital. This is a military compound. You know, if you go 5 feet on it, you get guns pointed at your head. And they said that it was, the cover story was, oh, it was stolen by animal rights activists. And that's what caused the outbreak. But then it happened again in 2007, thankfully not as bad an outbreak, but they had an international drill at this Purbright laboratory, again in the UK, which hosted an American pharmaceutical company, and foot and mouth was accidentally released again. So these are Loctite secure military facilities and labs where these viruses get out from. And now they're talking about putting Ebola into hospitals, which have basically no security in terms of defense.
This stuff is getting out of level 3 and level 4 bioweapons labs, and then they're going to put it in a hospital that's a perfect vector point with a bunch of sick people.
Exactly, and here's the thing. We're told Ebola is only transferable via bodily fluids. Not true.
It's not true.
Canadian
scientists. It's airborne from bats on record. That's even Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, growing concerns over in-the-air transmission of Ebola. BBC News, November 2012. This was Canadian scientists peer-reviewed, have shown that the deadliest form of the Ebola virus could be transmitted by a between species. So what they did is they got pigs that were infected with Ebola, put them in a pen with macaque monkeys, separated them only with a barbed wire fence, and they found within 8 days the macaque monkeys had contracted Ebola from the pigs via their respiratory system, and they were euthanized. So it can be transmitted. It's airborne.
Yeah, I've never gotten threatening, but I'm going to tell the government something right now. If my kids or anybody die from this, I'm holding you responsible. I'm sick of you. I'm just saying, I'm sick of it. I've had enough. Texas farmers flipped out after the foot and mouth thing. Remember, they were going to do a drill in Texas using equipment that had been used to kill the sheep and cows in England that was infected with it. Look, I'll tell you what's going on. It's like the 12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis. Excellent film. Folks ought to go watch it. Where it's a bioweapon lab, but, and it's not the government even doing it. It's a crazy environmentalist that works there that gets it and releases it. See, that's the issue. A lot of it is these bioethicist eugenicists that work in these government labs themselves, and that even came out in the British news, that they thought an animal rights activist who worked there is the one that released it, Paul.
Exactly. I mean, this comes down to individuals, doesn't it? It's people. You can still get radical environmentalists that work within government facilities that could be responsible for this release. But, you know, I read a quote by a UK scientist who said he would be perfectly happy to sit right next to somebody infected with Ebola on a train. So this is the attitude of the scientists that are working with this. And there's another article which I posted on InfoWars today. Ebola outbreak, Western drugs firms have not tried to find vaccine because virus only affects Africans, says UK's top public health doctor. So this is somebody who's not in the government. He's president of UK Faculty of Public Health.
Wow.
He's basically making the point that because it's only affected black Africans so far, there's been no desire whatsoever to create a vaccine for it.
By the way, that's using race baiting. They've been trying to create a vaccine for a long time. And we got lily white people that are over there trying to save folks that are getting it and dying from it.
Yeah, but in terms of the kind of massive push we saw before the swine flu outbreak in 2009, we've not seen it for Ebola. There actually, as I mentioned before the break, there was a vaccine that's shown promise. The headline is, this Ebola drug works great in monkeys in the lab, but it's being held up by the FDA. And basically, this was created by Techmira Pharmaceuticals Corporation. They tested it in humans, and it was proven successful, but the FDA blocked it.
Really?
So now you've got doctors freaking out at the FDA saying, why are you blocking this? We should not be having another Ebola outbreak when we've got a potential vaccine for it.
Now, is it a vaccine or a drug?
It's a vaccine.
Well, I tell you, Paul, this is sophisticated. There's something behind this. Why would government be so reckless to bring Ebola in, knowing that if it gets out, they're going to be held accountable? Why are they so reckless?
I really don't know. I don't know whether it's deliberate or, I mean, are they actually working on a treatment for this when we've already apparently got one? I mean, what's the purpose behind it? Because, again, you know, the false pandemic of 2009, they cashed in on that beforehand, which is why they pumped the hysteria.
Why aren't the Ebola victims at government level 4 bioweapons labs underground? Why are they at public hospitals? Why are they at universities? We'll be back, Paul, to look at the other angles. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We come to you from the front lines of the info war. You know, I'll tell you the big angles here, Paul Watson. We need to do articles reminding people that scientists say Ebola is now airborne off that previous research from 2 years ago. That's a story we should get out there so people take this more serious. We need to also expand on the fact that it's unprecedented to bring infected, communicable vectors into your country. And why are they in university hospitals? I mean, something's going on here, Paul. My gut tells me they want to have plausible deniability for an Ebola outbreak in the U.S. And government, even in the third world, if a plane crashes and it's the government's fault, the Minister of Transportation gets fired, gets sacked. If you mess up in Katrina, you get fired. Well, no, now you get double the funding at FEMA for emergencies. The precedent's been set. You let 9/11 happen, and anti-terrorism forces get about 15 times the funding, roughly. So I guess if Ebola breaks out, government will get more power. All these companies will get more money for anti-biological weapons research. And so I guess I've just answered my question. I mean, government used to think about getting the blame for things or not wanting to be embarrassed. Since when does Obama, he's who the buck stops with, or where does it stop, Paul? Centers for Disease Control, while our borders are wide open, and Geraldo Rivera, who's been on this show, I'm not even attacking him, comes out and says Matt Drudge is basically a racist because he's reporting mainstream news about concerns of Ebola coming across the southern border. When we know Africans are flying into Mexico and walking right across. They've got signs in Chinese and African now down on the border. I mean, this is crazy town, Paul Watson. And I'm hitting different angles of this. And then the creepiness factor. I want your take on this. Obama signs that executive order last Tuesday. Now, I guess 6 days ago. To, if anybody has a cough or a sniffle, it says respiratory illness or the appearance of it, you can be locked up and disappeared under the executive order 13,295. So what do you make of that, Paul Watson? Where do you think all this is going? Because undoubtedly, like you said, they're not hyping it like other made-up stuff like H1N1. I mean, my gut tells me this is big.
It could be a trial balloon for medical martial law. I mean, on the border angle, obviously the border control is under the auspices of the DHS. They're too busy raiding people's houses with six vehicles full of federal agents for a Land Rover because it may or may not violate EPA emissions rules. Totally ridiculous. TSA's allowing immigrants in without documents, rolling out the red carpet for Muslim Brotherhood. But then you get Obama, as you mentioned, passing this amendment to an executive order from Bush's 2003 executive order, which said that people could be apprehended or detained under the condition of a SARS release. Obama deleted the SARS section and replaced it with this thing that says basically any respiratory syndromes, you can be detained. And then obviously you've got the CDC saying, quote, well persons and people who do not show symptoms can also be detained.
So that's the new talking point, not someone verifiably coming off an airplane from a hot zone who's sweating and has a fever. Sure, lock them up for 4 or 5 days in a safe area to make sure they're not spreading stuff. No. So they let the crisis in and then say everyone's guilty. Classic behavior.
And then you've got airports setting up these fever screening cameras. The problem with them is that, as the Daily Mail reported today, they pick up false positives, quote, including people with minor illnesses and those who are hot after a dash through the airport. Now, I was subjected to this back in 2009 when I flew to China. Basically, these guys in bio suits came on the plane before you could even get off and did all these temperature screenings. If we're going to get false positives, people with minor illnesses, and Obama's passed this executive order saying anybody with any respiratory illness can be detained, then it opens the door for medical martial law.
Well, I'll tell you why China's like that. The genome is, and I've read the reports from Harvard on this medical center, the genome is so close in China that pandemics can spread even faster there. Same reason Native Americans got wiped out by stuff. They're not diverse. Nothing against them. I'm just stating scientific fact here. And they're also malnutrition in a lot of areas. They're really worried. And I'm not usually pushing a medical tyranny, but at least they're looking for stuff during pandemics. During a pandemic of Ebola, our border is wide open. I mean, again, what's behind that? How do the politicians think they'll get away with it?
Because government's just becoming more and more corrupt, and they think that the more outlandish they push it, you know, the more they can get away with it. As you said, you know, Homeland Security was created to fight terrorism after 2001. Now they're going after people with 25-year-old Land Rovers in six-vehicle raids with DHS agents. That's what the Homeland Security is doing now, instead of concentrating on the real problem, which is on the border.
And by the way, we were told Homeland Security was for Al-Qaeda. And then Al-Qaeda took over Syria. That was over 60% of the force. Now they changed their name to IS or ISIS, Islamic State. And our own government gave them Stinger missiles, 15,000 of them, or at least that number. I mean, it just shows how it's all a fraud. We're told Homeland Security's for the Tea Party, veterans and gun owners. And then meanwhile, I see articles. We had one earlier this week on Infowars.com. I saw another a few weeks ago on DrudgeReport.com. I see it all the time where, oh, file swappers, even sharing one file, get SWAT teamed by DHS. So we have Mexican mafia, We have Chinese triads pouring across the southern border, Al-Qaeda-affiliated Muslim Brotherhood people on record, 135,000 illegals in one Tucson sector in a two-month period, 36,000 felons being released out of federal custody who are illegals, above the law, and DHS is raiding people in Dallas, Texas, and Chicago, Illinois, because they swapped a movie.
It's amazing. I mean, you've also got the other angle, which is there was a source within Los Angeles County Department of Health Services who came to us. Basically, he said that his supervisor gave the whole staff a lecture and that starting later this month, they're going to be forcibly removing people from downtown LA, Skid Row, and bringing them to camps where they're going to be vaccinated. Now, this seemed like a sober individual. You know, he gave us his full name and everything. So they're talking about, and they have got these programs for putting people in, quote, housing facilities.
They already do it in Sacramento.
Yeah, and all these laws against homeless people, against feeding homeless people in other areas of the country.
Sounds reasonable, but it sets the precedent for everybody else.
Exactly, because I mean,
I'm not saying it's good to not feed homeless. I'm saying you can't have 50 homeless sleeping outside somebody's apartment building. You know, they're landowners; they have a right. I mean, it's okay to direct them someplace, but you don't then send them to a FEMA camp.
Exactly, they're being given a choice: either they go to this quote shelter or they go to jail. And now they're talking about giving them forced vaccines and RFID chips. So it's frightening stuff, whether it's linked to this Ebola outbreak.
The point is, what do they think? Lock up the homeless, but don't lock up the illegals? Again, Paul, why are the illegals above the law on every front? I don't even dislike these illegals. I know why they're above the law. They want to draw them up here with an incentive.
Exactly, to create the voting block, which destroys constitutional rights because they vote for candidates that are for gun control and all these other horrible things. So that's why they're bringing them in. Also, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, you know, this was adopted by 33 states in part or in whole. Under a medical public emergency, they can seize all communications, ration firearms and food. They can seize both public and private property. So again, this
oh,
is
yeah, I forgot about those executive orders. Under Obama medical emergency, guns would be confiscated. Do an article on that, Paul. And other listeners, you do it too. Go look it up. It's in there to take guns, to have forced labor, work brigades. Look at the old executive orders. They've been upgraded into new executive orders. Because they always go, oh, well, that's an executive order from the 70s or 80s or 90s. No. Just like Obama just updated Bush's to make it worse, it's all been updated by Obama in omnibus signings he's done to take your guns if Ebola. Let's say you live in California or you live in Texas or you live in Washington State or you live in Illinois. Ebola breaks out. Obama can order your guns turned in nationwide. That's why I think they're letting all the disease in, Paul.
Well, once you get this martial law in place, you can target people who are not even affected by the so-called emergency. We saw it in Katrina, where people who were completely unaffected in the high and dry areas got their guns seized. Similar with this, as I just mentioned with the CDC, well persons, people who don't show symptoms, can be detained. Then you've got model states, which says that they can give forced vaccinations. The Heritage Foundation broke that down, and that was in another article. Feds would exercise draconian emergency powers if Ebola hits U.S.
So. Paul, I just got to say something. I mean, in the midst of all this crisis, it's so good to have the great crew here working on the weekend to bring folks this broadcast, to have all these great affiliates carrying the show, to have all these great sources in the federal government that feed us intel, and to be talking to somebody like you internationally who understands geopolitics and every facet of news. It is just such a pleasure to talk to someone who gets it like you. My God, if we had a million Paul Watsons, we would change the world. And you know what? There are a million Paul Watsons out there of every race, color, and creed. Let's come together, expose the tyranny, and lead humanity out of this globalist mismanagement and fraud. Second hour coming up. Tell your friends and family to tune in right now to this station. Second hour is coming up.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
I like prosperity. I like wealth. I like science. I like technology, but I like family and good old-fashioned kinsmanship more than anything else. There's an old Norse saying that cattle die and kinsmen die. But I know there's one thing that never dies, and that's the fame of a dead man's deeds. And I would always, you know, see that quote when I was a child researching the Norse. I was always fascinated by it, by the Vikings. I thought, that sounds arrogant. That sounds self-centered. But now I understand it's not about that. It's about being an example to others that come after you, to be honorable and to be strong and to die with a sword in your hand. And that doesn't even mean in the modern sense die in combat. It means die taking action, charging forward, and not being a coward and not giving up and not giving in. I don't want to advance screwing people. I don't want to be a parasite, a gutter snipe. I want to build society. I want to help Latin America. Hurts my heart we can't let them all in. But they're being used as a weapon to bring down the Republic on record by the globalists that brought their countries down. Paul Watson, it's a short segment, long segment coming up, then John Rappaport joins us. I've been ranting, but the few minutes we've got left in this short segment, this kind of no man's land here, what do you have to say about what makes us men and women? What makes us tick? What's at the center of your compass?
Center of my compass, Alex, is just to be adversarial to the system, to the establishment, because that's what journalists are supposed to be. Now the mainstream media has seized this pejorative term conspiracy theorist, and again we're seeing it with this Ebola outbreak. Ask any questions whatsoever about the official narrative, you're a conspiracy theorist. I actually sent out a tweet earlier today reminding people that it was the CIA in 1967, and this was in their own document, 1035-960, who outlined how the term conspiracy theory would be weaponized and turned into a pejorative term to demonize all dissent. So this was obviously in relation to the Warren Commission. Any questioning of the narrative was to be demonized as a conspiracy theory, and this term was to be weaponized in the arena of public debate. So 50 years later, the establishment is still using this pejorative.
Wow, you should do another story on that whenever you get a chance, how the Clintons in the mid-90s demonized Joseph Farah, Drudge, and others, and said, use the term conspiracy theorist, and quoted that. I didn't know. I just learned something, that was a CIA plan.
Exactly, from 1967 in their own document.
Oh, my, Paul, you just taught me something, as usual. That is sensational against the enemy, to show how the CIA, run by these foreign banks, coined that term to then just demonize anyone that questions lies. Can we come back in the next segment? Can you detail that more for me?
Yeah, sure.
What else is life about, though? Doesn't it feel good to build people up? I can't imagine wanting to not teach people things and wanting to dumb kids down. That makes me want to throw up.
It feels good to be informed because you can make better choices about your life. Ignorance is bliss. It's not true. You cannot live your life like that. You will live a more unhappy life in ignorance because you're not as empowered to make better choices about your life. So when people say, oh, you don't get depressed, don't get down, don't you get overwhelmed? No, you only get more and more educated and more empowered, more in the game and on the field to have a real impact in the future of humanity.
I'll tell you what scares me. More and more that I study this stuff more, I talk to the general public, even people that have degrees and good jobs. It's like talking to a child. That they just are these little TV-watching, self-centered people, and they literally are dumb. And I'm in the perspective of the elite now, but I don't want to hurt these dumb people or these lazy people, these ignorant people. But I am frustrated by how stupid they are.
It's hard to reach some of them, but again, you do find that if you know you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But a lot of them are just locked in, Alex. I mean, we've got basically a dead end culture in general, where a lot of the music, for example, a lot of the movies are just being regenerated from the past, not borrowed from the past, which all culture does, but just dug up again and, you know, regurgitated. That's happening in a lot of areas, and people are just becoming dead. I mean, that's why we've got all these zombie films that come out.
It shows how the elite themselves don't even have a desire to create something new and trailblazing. They just eat each other's vomit over and over again in an endless cycle, like two snakes coming together. It's an evil plan.
You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
My prime directive is to empower humanity and create a better world for my children. for humans to explore the cosmos and transform like the butterflies that God made us to be. The globalists, on the other hand, think humanity's ugly and dead and want to remove us. They believe they're going to merge with the technotronic era and the machines. Don't believe me, Bill Joy, Ray Kurzweil, all the top globalists. This is the public plan. I talk about that 18 years ago. People thought I was nuts. Now it's so mainline. They go, yeah, tell us something we don't know. Well, I know the rest of the story, boys and girls. And I'm not here saying I'm smarter than you. I'm saying you've been taught to be experts on baseball scores and cosmetics and how to act cool. And if you just spend a little of that time learning how the world works, you too can be Renaissance men and women. Paul Joseph Watson, final segment with you. Then investigative journalist John Rappaport joins us with the rest of the story. You dropped a bombshell on me. You teach me stuff all the time, Paul Watson, one of the major editors of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I knew the Western Journalism Center was able to get through FOIA requests and other activities. That's Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, for those that don't know. The proto-internet trailblazer, major newspaper editor that was one of the first to be on the internet, along with Matt Drudge of DrudgeReport.com. Back in the early 90s, the Clintons, it came out at their big presidential library earlier this year. We broke it here with Joseph Farah when it first came out. He shared the scoop with us. I was part of the next wave that came right after them in 95, 96. They were part of that first wave. I was part of the beginning of the second wave. Just so you historically understand that you're just as important now. If you're waking up, you're like the fourth or fifth wave of this. And the waves come closer together if you study real media theory here on this broadcast that we break down. If you look at it, Clinton was ordering all the different media agencies and internal secret memos, state-run media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, anyone that questioned government, anyone that questioned the system was to be called a conspiracy theorist or a racist. So if you said, hey, Hillary shouldn't be getting cattle futures secretly as a payoff, you're a racist. Or Vince Foster didn't have any blood at the scene, even though it was in the police report, you're a conspiracy theorist. Questioning known liars is heresy, is taboo, equivalent to putting a crucifix in a goblet of urine like the federal government paid to have done. Remember that? So it's blasphemy against the state that's God. The New World Order is the state is God. So in closing, Paul, you dropped a bombshell on a declassification. I looked it up during the break, and lo and behold, something I didn't know. The more you learn, the more you know how dumb you are. That's why I feel sorry for the general public, thinks they know it all, and don't even know the three branches of government, much less the periodic table or what quantum mechanics is or what positronic or psychotronic warfare is. But, Paul, I'm ranting here today. In closing, the 6-7 minutes we've got left, drop the bombshell, the declassification that the CIA created the term conspiracy theorist and tinfoil hat. I didn't know that. In the 60s, and that's the go-to thing you say when you go, you know, gee, that vaccine made my kid have convulsions. You're a conspiracy theorist. Gee, my hamburger's cold. You're a conspiracy theorist. Gee, the border's wide open. You're a conspiracy theorist. Gee, Obama's a liar. Gee, my health care went up in cost. You're a conspiracy theorist. Gee, taking guns makes crime rate go up. You're a conspiracy theorist. That's their response to intellectual, informed people. Paul Watson, drop that bombshell on people.
Yeah, this is CIA document 1035-960 concerning criticism of the Warren Report. This was written in 1967, released, I think, a couple of decades later, declassified. Basically, they point out that they need to denounce any dissent, any criticism, any questioning of the Warren Commission report by linking it to this term, quote, conspiracy theories or conspiracy talk, which they will then attribute to be quote, deliberately generated by communist propagandists.
And again, they even tried to call Jim Garrison, Marine Corps war hero of World War II, who exposed all this as the district attorney. They tried to call him a commie, and they used that term against him. I'd separately seen that they used it against him. I didn't know there was a document, Paul.
Yeah, and then they reel off these narratives that are to be created, these talking points, which are still used basically every day by the mainstream media.
They claim
today.
I'm a Soviet agent.
Exactly. Conspiracy on the large scale often suggests it would be impossible to conceal in the United States. We hear that over and over again, don't we? Despite the fact that some of the biggest secret projects in history, like the Manhattan Project, were you know, groups of people, large groups of people conspiring to keep something secret. So they establish all these talking points, which are still used by the mainstream media today. And I thought of it today because earlier in the week, I'd made this video about the Daily Beast. They basically came out with an article attempting to demonize Rand Paul, which kind of failed for them in 2010 when he became a senator. You know, the Aqua Buddha scandal, the devastating scandal, was the best they could dig up on him. But they're doing it already.
They had Democrats dress up like hayseeds and say racist stuff against Hispanics and blacks. And they got caught because we did the Google photo search. So it's important for the public when they run these secret operations to go out and do your own humet. You're just as good as the CIA and to counter it.
Exactly. Obviously, they're thinking Rand's going to run in 2016. So they put out an article, guilt by association, attempting to link him with you because he's been on your network. The problem is, in the very second sentence, they committed an outright fabrication by saying Alex Jones is a, quote, moon landing denier, despite the fact that numerous times you've said, yes, you think the moon landing did happen.
I've had Buzz Aldrin on, a bunch of other moon landers. I've had top people inside NASA that were personal friends of mine that said, no, we went to the moon. I've talked to the former head of the Star Wars program. I'm on record. We went to the moon. They just hid some of the stuff that took us there.
But then I pointed this out, and this Olivia Nutzi, this Daily Beast writer, wrote a second article basically trying to justify it by saying, oh, you may have questioned some aspects of the photograph, so that makes you a moon landing denier. Completely ridiculous. She then compared you to a Holocaust denier. So she actually doubled down on the demonization after she was.
And for those that don't know, NASA couldn't get film back through the Van Allen radiation belt. And so they dolled up some photos with primitive, what you call Photoshop today, and they messed up putting some of the camera hash marks behind things. And that's on record, and that's where it all started, because they put out sloppy PR stuff to promote the mission, which anybody does. I mean, everybody takes photos and alters them to make them look better. They took all the radiation spots off the film. Go ahead, Paul.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
But she said you were a moon landing denier, which obviously directly suggests you say that it never happened. And she doubled down on it, even though she got caught. I think that then prompted Olbermann to come out and attack us the day after. He got completely destroyed on Twitter as well. So there seems to be this consensus that's going out. Attack Rand Paul, link him with Alex Jones. But the hit piece fell flat on its face, basically, because it was a complete fabrication. And I pointed it out.
Well, there's also an orgy of attacking Drudge right now.
Exactly. That's what Chris Hayes, MSNBC, did. It's the axis of Drudge, Alex Jones, and Rand Paul. That's who they're going after in the run-up to 2016. So we're going to see more of it.
Well, notice Rand Paul says the border's open on purpose because the Border Patrol says that. We have video of it. It's on record. He dares say that the sun is up at high noon. He dares say 2 + 2 = 4, and that's why they hate him.
Exactly. So they're going to call him a conspiracy theorist. They're going to call him a racist. Again, it's the axis of Drudge, InfoWars, and Rand Paul. This is the narrative that they've tied it into. That's what they're going to run with up until 2016. So I look forward to them completely failing again like they did in 2010 when Rand won his senatorial race.
Sure. And, you know, Rand said last time he came on, he called me and wanted to come on. I've known him since his dad ran for Congress the second time in 1996. And he said, hey, I'm willing to come on. And I said, you know what? Let's just not even do it. Because it's not that they have any power attacking us. It's just that it doesn't even do anything for the show to have Rand on. We want to get him in as president or Ted Cruz. And so it just doesn't matter. I mean, the media thinks when they obsess every week on national TV, CNN, MSNBC, about the fact that Rand Paul comes on this show, all that does is make Rand look good with the public because he's seen as radical. People want something radical to compare to the radical Obama policies. They want a radical turn away from running off the cliff. Paul Watson will read all your big articles at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com tomorrow. Thank you so much for spending Sunday with us.
Thanks, Alex.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It's the love of liberty and freedom, justice that keeps me alive. Monday through Friday, we're here 6 days a week, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, weekdays. That's 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Weeknights, we're here 5 days a week, 7 o'clock Central, PrisonPlanet.tv with the InfoWars Nightly News. And, of course, back Sundays. Nobody else does this. It was a national daytime radio show. I come back Sundays. So I guess George Norrie does weekends, too. He's a hardworking guy. CoastToCoastAM.com. So I stand corrected once I said that. I'm one of the few people that does weekends as well. 4 to 6 p.m. Central on Sundays. We got three more segments left with investigative reporter John Rappaport. And I tend to agree with him that there's been major hype in the past dealing with H1N1 5 years ago that was a total hoax, and that came out mainstream news later, and dealing with other medical things. But Ebola has reportedly killed over 1,000 people now since we just talked a few days ago back on Thursday. It has reportedly spread all over the place, and we know it's very communicable. So why are they taking people for the first time into Germany, into the U.S., into mainline medical facilities? That is a big deal. Is it for plausible deniability when they release something later to create fear, to push a vaccine a year or two down the road? Obama signed an executive order to allow detention of Americans with any type of respiratory illness. Unprecedented. That's up on Infowars.com. While the borders are wide open and illegals that are sick, I've had senior Border Patrol agents on the last week, including the head of the Border Patrol Retiree Union, confirming it's on purpose and organized crime, and people that have TB, you name it, are allowed in. I mean, that's crazy town. So what is the plan with the borders, Ebola, this age of crisis? I keep saying more and more crises, dollar devaluation, staged war in Ukraine, turning Al-Qaeda loose in the Middle East to kill Christians everywhere, the Gaza situation, all these crises popping up at once. What does investigative journalist and a guy that's done investigative journalism for some of the biggest networks out there in the past, syndicated columnist, nomorefakenews.com. What does John Rappaport think in the big picture? Before we get into Ebola and the rest of it, we've already talked about that for an hour and 15 minutes. John, I've thrown out the gestalt here, or the big picture, that clearly things are going into high gear. Is it just meant to set the precedent where we'll put up with anything? Is it meant to put us into learned helplessness? Is it a Pavlovian event where they shock an animal enough it just curls up in the corner? Is this learned helplessness? Is this Stockholm Syndrome writ large? Or is this one part that, one part just criminal activity, and one part Nero burning Rome for fun and then committing suicide a year later? Because all he could do as dictator, who no one stopped, was kill himself, which a lot of crazies do. When they can't dominate others, they've already won. They just kill themselves. Is it Hitler turning east to attack Russia? Is it Napoleon turning east to attack Russia? Is it criminals always trying to get caught, finally trying to bring themselves down, taking bigger and bigger risk? Is it one part that? Have I properly, from your literal deep understanding, and I don't kiss my listeners or guests' butts, but Paul Watson's real smart. John Rappaport's real smart. These are the type of people I listen to. What do you think's really going on, John Rappaport?
Well, Alex, I think the learned helplessness part is major. You know, you overwhelm people with a number of these crises all at once. I mean, that's classic PSYOP kind of work, where people feel like they're being driven from pillar to post. They can't concentrate and try to figure out what's going on in one area when something else pops up, and then a third, and then a fourth. It's all happening at the same time, and so they throw up their hands and they say, well, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can contribute. There's nowhere to go. So I just have to let the people in charge take care of it because it's just too overwhelming. I don't think there's any doubt about that in all of these staged crises happening at the same time. No question about that. And I agree with you also, it's moving into a higher gear. Absolutely. The rapidity with which these things are being splashed in everybody's faces is enormous. And then you've got the fact that no explanations are given for outrageous behavior that just drives people into a state of cognitive dissonance where they can't, you know, even think anymore, such as what happened at the border? Why all of a sudden this? All of this horrendous kind of oppression has been going on in Central America for a long time. So why all of a sudden do we have all these kids and people showing up at the border? Where did that come from? No answer, you know, is supplied there except, you know, kind of ridiculous generalities. And, you know, why all of a sudden do we have, you know, war in Asia and war and all this insanity going on in the Middle East and the U.S. Government under Obama supporting terrorists and calling them by various different names, you know.
Oh, yeah, total psyop. I mean, it's Al-Qaeda. They just changed the name. I mean, it's getting crazy.
So, you know, that just drives people completely to distraction because, and then the business with the open borders and all these sick people coming in with, you know, infections and diseases, and people are looking around at each other saying, do you understand what's going on here? I mean, am I missing something? And everybody is just, you know, with a giant question mark over their head. They don't know what to think. That's part of the learned helplessness, too. So to me, that's just a major, major aspect of this.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Is the bottom line, this is full-spectrum dominance, siege-level warfare by the globalist against humanity as a whole to bring in a global crisis so we finally accept global governance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the end game. That's the purpose for all of this. You know, all of the sub-motives and objectives and whatever all feed in, as you and I have discussed a number of times, into that big picture, which is total global dominance by the globalists. That's what they want, so that people will just give in. Okay, so it's time for a new money system. All right, whatever you say, do whatever you want, you know, because we just can't fight it anymore. That's what a lot of people think. And, of course, that's totally wrong. But when you have this kind of psyop assault on people's minds and consciousness, that's what you get from a lot of people. They just give up. They surrender. And then you can enact even more insane things than you did. I mean, it's like testing the limits of insanity. Okay, if we just open the borders and we let hundreds of thousands of people flood in, people that are sick, people that are dying, unaccompanied children, terrorists, gangs, this, that, and the other thing, and the people will go for that, and there won't be any massive rebellion in the streets.
Why not bring in live Ebola?
Exactly. Let's try that.
And,
if that flies, okay, so maybe it's time now for Obama to unilaterally declare amnesty for all immigrants and to say that the whole idea of borders in the first place is ridiculous.
Stay there. Incredible. See, folks, I'm up here ranting and raving. John Rappaport in like 6 minutes just crystallized everything. I mean, you don't hear this anywhere else. And I'm not just saying that. You really don't. I mean, he just broke it all down. We'll talk about how we stop it and what he expects to happen next, what they're going to do next, coming up on this Sunday edition.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
No more. FakeNews.com is his website. He's John Rappaport. You can read his amazing essays and news articles every day there. We carry him at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com as well. Up on InfoWars.com, Obama brings Ebola into America after signing executive order to detain sick Americans. 2 + 2 = 4, folks, not 5, like Common Core says. Senator Schumer calls for laws on private drone use. Yeah, we knew that was coming. Demonized drones, but then only let the government have them. Ebola outbreak. Western drug firms have not tried to find vaccines because virus only affects Africans. That's an actual quote out of the UK government. You cannot make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. It affects everybody equally, folks, on a racial basis. Stuff like HIV is racially discriminatory, if you could use that term, towards Africans. Ebola cover op in a hypnotized world. Again, covert op in a hypnotized world. That's John Rappaport's article. That's just some of the stories up on the main website. But, John, what I know here is this. This is clearly by design. These are decisions they're making to bring live Ebola inside host humans that can spread it into hospitals that aren't even contained for this. There's all sorts of federal laws. I looked them up. The headline should be Obama violates federal law, shipping Ebola victims to hospital. I mean, it's on record that stuff like that's got to be in a level 4 facility. They've got those all over the place. They've got them in Atlanta. Why aren't they there? So regardless, they're doing something on purpose. We know it's fear-mongering. We know, I mean, there's a lot of things, but you just mentioned it all earlier, but there's even more to it. Where do you see all this going, and what do you think the next big crisis they may pull, and what are all these crises supposed to lead up to?
Okay, I see a few things. One is, and you mentioned this earlier, they're rushing to sell, you know, billions of dollars worth of a new vaccine that they're now going to test on humans. All of a sudden, all these years, they've been saying, well, we got no vaccine for Ebola, no vaccine for Ebola, can't get it. All of a sudden, oh, yeah, we can do this. In fact, we'll do it right away. Watch out for that one, baby, because who knows what's going to be in that one, and who knows how toxic that is going to be to people who are then going to fall ill. And then there'll be a guy diagnosed that, no, it wasn't a vaccine. These people actually have Ebola. So to bring people into the U.S. who have been diagnosed with Ebola is definitely a step in that direction. Oh, now we must have a vaccine. We've got to get it there. I'm also looking because now in West Africa, these areas in Sierra Leone and Liberia and the Republic of Guinea have now been sealed off. So I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop, which is curtailing of goods on boats and giant ships and everything shipped out of Liberia especially, but other places too. No, we can't let any of this stuff out. So now you have total collapse of, you know, commercial trade. You've got all kinds of businesses going under because they run on credit, and now they can't ship goods and they can't pay their bills. And now you've got all this explosion at the border, and I'm expecting to see some stories in the press pretty soon about the North American Union or some version of that where the people are going to be saying out of Washington, why do we have these borders in the first place? They're absolutely unnecessary, costing us billions of dollars. Let's just have Mexico, Canada, the U.S. as one giant, you know, nation or whatever territory. And that'll solve the whole problem, prosperity for all, just the opposite of the truth, whatever. So those are a few of the things that I'm seeing coming up on the horizon. And all of this is leading to incorporating the U.S. as part of, you know, the globalist world, to say the United States cannot be an isolated nation, cannot handle their own affairs. Is deeply in debt, money crisis, jobs crisis, disease crisis, everything. And somehow the way to solve this, which is totally illogical and insane, but, you know, nevertheless, because we live in an interdependent world, that's how it'll all be solved, through the global village, everybody will be one, et cetera, all that insanity. And that's what we're moving toward here, and that's the new day, the new money system. That's globalism in a nutshell. That's where all of this is going. The whole thing with the borders is completely about destroying the borders and saying they're artificial, they don't exist, there's no reason to pay any attention to them, and that's the globalist message, which is basically the communist message. There is no such thing as private property. There's no such thing as sovereign nations.
Unless you're a globalist outside the sovereign nation. Again, that's key what you just said. They don't just get rid of the border. They get rid of the nation and then bring you under their international rule with all these secret boards and treaties, just like the Asia-Pacific trade agreement is secret for 3 years being negotiated. We go under true corporate global dictatorship, not of the corporation that's free market down the street from your house, but of these globalist megabanks who are anti-free market, anti-middle class, anti-prosperity, anti-human.
Exactly. And the crisis, to me, that's going to happen, it's already underway to some degree, because nothing is perfect, and people shouldn't think that the globalists have, you know, the perfect plan for totally dominating the world. And that crisis is going to be, you've got all kinds of corporations out there, giant corporations, that need consumers to sell their product. And if they put the world under this globalist system and they expand the kind of poverty and desperation that we've been seeing over the last 10 years or so, they're going to run into one of their own crises, which is that some of those corporations are going to be screaming, we don't have enough consumers. The whole shooting match could go down completely because they've gone too far, too long, and they've made too many people too poor and too desperate to even participate in their controlled economy, at which point the ship just absolutely sinks.
And then global homeland security groups, other crisis management organizations run by the private banking intelligence agencies that have taken over our governments, pose as the saviors and consolidate even more control and then launch the next phase of their anti-human operation.
You bet. Absolutely. Because now we have to combat chaos in the streets. Now we have to combat, you know, rebellion. Cropping up.
And I'm going to be saying put the army out here to stop the rioting because the army will be heroes fighting a crisis the globalists helped create, but nevertheless fighting a real enemy. It's like our military fighting Al-Qaeda. No, they're really fighting real radical scum. So I'm not saying they aren't heroes or it isn't real. The problem is the globalists gave the weapons and the training to the crazies to begin with.
Absolutely. I mean, part of solving a crisis that was created by the globalists to begin with is that it has to be a real crisis. It can't just be in your mind. You know, you really do have to feel threatened. There really does have to be enough violence and chaos so that people will say, help us, save us, bring in the heroes, do whatever you have to do. I mean, it works. Once you take it that far, it works. But the end game goes beyond that. The end game is now you have a lockdown planet. Now you have, you know, global homeland security who is saying, we're going to bring order out of chaos. And in the aftermath, yes, you folks are going to have far less freedoms than you did before, but you will have security. We will protect you, and we know that's what you want, right? And they're betting that the majority of people are going to say, absolutely.
Well, there you have it with John Rappaport, the secrets of the New World Order, the secret of their psyop, the secret of what they want. Before we go to break here, start describing from your deep research over 40 years their mindset. When we come back, we'll do it. And then solutions. We'll finish up today. Didn't take any calls because there was so much to cover, but I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, live with the weekday radio show. We'll take a lot of calls tomorrow, I promise, because I know folks want to chime in on what's happening, but I mean, this is real. This is not a game. We'll be back. Infowars.com is my site. NoMoreFakeNews.com is John Rappaport. Stay with us.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that
gun. And I hope that judge ain't blind.
I hope that judge ain't blind.
Amarillo by morning.
Amarillo by morning. Amarillo's on my mind.
Yeah, that sun will be high in that Texas sky. You know, I am proud to be a Texan. Growing up, I just got sick of Texas this, Texas that, how great it was. Amarillo by morning.
Amarillo,
but I do
morning.
Share the state with George Strait.
Up from San Antonio.
And I just didn't know how special it was to be Texan.
Is just what I've got.
Growing up, I thought everybody was like my grandparents and my parents. The other Texans I knew. Where nobody would even think about cheating you or screwing you over because they didn't want their name being ruined and because they were honorable people. Now, there's always been a lot of bad people in Texas as well. There are a lot of great people across this fine land. But I got to tell you, the good old-fashioned real Texas values that I grew up with, that's Americana, and that's what I want to see come back to this country. I guess you could call it chivalry. Kind of the end of the American Revolution kind of settled here in Texas. And for all our bad angels, we had a lot more good ones, to use that analogy. Closing out here, the worldwide transmission with John Rappaport. John, quantify who the globalists are, what their deepest endgame is from all the thousands of people you've interviewed on your TV show and radio show and books you've written and the bestsellers and all the rest of it, really delving into the esoteric nature of these people. And then how do we beat them? John Rappaport.
Well, they're certainly the kind of banksters that you've been talking about for a long time, and I think increasingly so, because the money men who are manipulating money, creating the money, inflating, deflating, you know, value is what they're doing at the drop of a hat, financing ventures, pulling their money out, putting it in, you know, roaming the world, because under the World Trade Organization, which is a key element of globalism today, corporate banksters and so on can move in and move out at will. And they're just, you know, they want to own the world. They want to own life itself. And we don't have a lot of time, but we can certainly, you know, indicate that
they want to play God. That's why any free will gets in the way of them. They're here to override humanity, turn us into robots.
Exactly. Destroys all of that idea of freedom. And so that's the, you know, the solution has always been and continues to be freedom. The individual, starting with the individual. And the problem has been recently that there's a lot of people who pay lip service to that idea of freedom, but they don't back it up.
I agree, but what about the globalists? How do they not burn with a wish for liberty? How do they not want to empower others? How do they want to see others fall and be weak? And then, as you just said, how do the average yuppies and people just pay lip service and not take it personal that people are trying to enslave them?
Well, I think to explain the globalists, you've got to understand that those people, their rise to extreme wealth was not ever through the free market. They cheated, lied, stole, corrupted, murdered people to get
John D. Rockefeller said competition's a sin.
Exactly. So by the time they got to the top, you think they're going to turn around and talk about freedom?
No.
That's the horror to them. That's like Satan to them, is freedom. Because they did everything they could to destroy freedom on their way up. That's how they got to the top. So that really explains their psychology.
And they lost a lot of battles and are battle scarred, and they want to settle the score.
Exactly. They look at themselves as in a perpetual war with the human race, and freedom is their nemesis. That's, you know, that's the silver cross that, you know, destroys them. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to think about it. They just want to eliminate it and make everybody into robots and androids. That's their whole plan. They think that's going to make them safe. Of course, it's not, because you can never kill freedom. But there's got to be, we're talking about the yuppies now who play lip service to this whole idea of freedom. They're just cowards. You know, they sell out at the drop of a hat. But there's millions and millions and millions of people in America that do have some notion of what freedom means, and they have to deepen that notion to the point where they know what it is that they are going to do in order to preserve and protect it.
I agree, but plus the yuppies don't get, and I never knew this when I started out and was ignorant. I just knew I loved freedom and didn't want to be a slave. I'm still ignorant, but compared to what I was 18, 20 years ago, it's a different creature. But you become physically more successful by not selling out in this paradigm, especially towards the end when everybody else already sold out. They're selling out cheap. You're selling out to be a slave. That's no deal at all.
And you fail. I mean, a long time ago as a writer, I came face to face with this question. Well, I could sell out, and then I could write stuff that I thought would make me a lot of money. And then I thought to myself, yeah, but suppose I even try that, which I don't want to do, and I fail. That's going to be a double failure. So why not do exactly what I want to do, come hell or high water, and let's go that way. And just as you say, I've watched people over the years who have sold out fall by the wayside, who thought, man, I've got this thing knocked. And these are people that I've known, and they say to me, man, you're heading for total disaster because you're doing exactly what you want to do. And my response has always been, well, let's see what happens 10 years from now. Let's see who's still around. And I've watched some of these people just absolutely burn up and blow away in the wind because they sold out. They became totally bankrupt spiritually, morally, and even physically bankrupt because it just never worked out. What really works out in the long run is you know what you actually believe in, you know what freedom is, and you act on it, and you don't stop.
Well, exactly. In fact, I've seen the psychological studies over and over again, but I knew this instinctively, why so many criminals in criminology try to sabotage themselves and why people that do really evil stuff are so unhappy and have such horrible lives. It's because even their subconscious brain isn't pure evil and wants to destroy them. It's like their own self doesn't like them. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. And I think you're right when it comes to the globalists. Deep down, you know, they know that this is totally destructive, totally criminal, that they're responsible, and they're looking for some form of end to themselves, self-destruction, suicide. I mean, that is necessary to explain some of the things that they're doing, because it can't be explained in any other way, that subconsciously they're looking to destroy themselves. But unfortunately, if they succeed, they're going to take a lot of people along with them. That's why they got to be stopped.
I'm looking for a way for space colonization and my grandchildren to basically achieve immortality. I'm looking just to absolutely double down and invest in the future of humanity and to have goodwill towards all and to just crush parasites and criminals and scum and just stop being slobs and rediscover our primitive energy and to merge that with all the new developments that the best and brightest have brought us and to just build a wonderful world, John. And I guess they call that terrorist.
Yeah, I guess they do. What it really is freedom. And that's what, you know, I got hooked on when I was 10 or 11 years old was some of the great science fiction that talked about vast, far-flung, you know, outposts of humanity on planets and so on and so forth. And what you would see in these different places is people who were free. They were cut loose from the centralized insanity and bureaucracy and control, and they just built and created extraordinary lives from themselves.
Sure, and Frank Herbert and Robert Heinlein and all of them said these were allegories of what was happening on Earth when they were alive.
Absolutely. Yeah, Heinlein especially was really critical of everything he was seeing develop, and a lot of his readers never really realized that, but he saw it coming. Man, I read stuff of his when I was 12 or 13 that was... And by the way, I hitchhiked through Amarillo in 1961. On Route 66 out of East St. Louis, and I got to Amarillo in the dawn. The guy dropped me off, and I saw a huge pasture with these cows standing in tall grass, so tall that you couldn't see their legs, and they looked like they were floating. And I thought, wow, what kind of world is this? Fantastic. Wide open, beautiful Amarillo in the morning.
We ought to call this segment, when we put it up on YouTube, Amarillo by Morning now. Wow.
Yeah.
What a powerful pro-human discussion. NoMoreFakeNews.com. I tell you, it's a pleasure knowing you, John Rappaport. And I want to get you to Austin. We ought to fly you here soon to sit down to an interview for another upcoming film. Thank you so much, John and crew. Great job. Listeners, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow.